Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. I hope that you all had some nice time off, hopefully, the last week or two. And I hope that if you celebrated the New Year, it was something meaningful. And I have been thinking a lot about all of you, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. We have four more sessions, just four more in January, and then we're done. To give you just a little bit of a brief run through today, we are going to look at journaling as a coaching tool. I love this session and the ritual session. They're very, very interactive. We're going to be doing a lot of brainstorming together on case studies. You'll see it's really fun. And then next week we'll meet for a coaching practicum. And then we're going to be looking, as I said, at ritual as a coaching tool. And then our final session is a little bit of a longer one. Let me just get the date on that. I just want to make sure you have that in your calendars. I've given us a nice 2.5 hours on the 23rd of January from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. We are going to end with a bang. We are going to teach you, we're going to do a bunch of things on that call. I'm going to take you through a next step process that you can take any clients through that have come to the end of a cycle with you. If you would like to invite them to continue on, I'm going to be sharing with you step by step how to do that. To support them to make the best decision to continue working with you. And then we're going to have our closing ceremony for the program. We're going to have opportunity to do reflections and to do a little ceremony and say goodbye. So that's what the next four calls look like. And of course, we also have our two community calls this month for those of you that have been coming or dropping in. Those are there for you as well. I think what we're also going to do, even though it's not scheduled and I need to make a note for it, is Caitlin will maybe we'll have a time for Caitlin to hang out for a little bit for those of you that have any questions on certification. So she'll go through everything with you again and then answer any questions that you have. If you are going for certification and you've gotten a little bit behind, listen to me. And this is a pinky promise. Do not worry. Do not worry. We will help you get caught up. You will get it done. If you want to get it done, you will get it done in right time for you. We will make sure of it. If you want to get certified, you will get certified. That is my promise to you. Okay. So, Caitlin, I'm here to support you with it. Caitlin is here to support you with it. And we'll make some time for her to answer questions. Any questions for me right now on any of it as we amble towards our last month? No? Okay. The other thing I just wanted to mention is a couple of you have written in over the last few weeks about. Is there a way to continue to access the community calls once Sacred Depths is over? Some of you have heard about the Embody program for graduates from other graduates that you know, and you've asked, like, are you going to continue doing it? And finally, over this break, I knew that the format for Embody had to change. And I just like needed time for it to settle in. What's the word? I don't know. For it to just come in. So it has, and I will in a few weeks share with you about Embody. It's just an easy breezy way to continue to be part of the community, to review a lot of the concepts we've learned in Sacred Depths with new twists on them, to review, et cetera. So I'll share about that in a few weeks. I'm not ready to share about it today. It's my first day back in the office. Okay. So all that being said, let's talk about journaling. And I believe journaling is really such an effective tool that we can use in our client work. I save looking at journaling and ritual for the end of Sacred Depths, because the journaling especially really does bring together so many of the coaching tools that we've already looked at. You'll see that as we move through today. And when you use journaling in effective way, it actually requires a lot of the knowledge of everything we've explored so far. As a little bit of a background, I'll just share with you that, you know, a lot of coaching practitioner programs don't include journaling in it. But I'll share with you one of the reasons why I do. Obviously, you see, we've used it throughout Sacred Depths. You use it a little bit differently one-on-one than in groups. We're not going to be looking at how to use it in groups. We're going to be looking at how to use it one-on-one today. But what I want to get at is one of the reasons why I use journaling so much in my classes with my clients is because it's played a huge role in my own life and in my own business. Since I've been a little girl, when I was 7 years old, I was the first time I got a journal. Shortly after that was when my mother was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which was really, really difficult for me. Especially because of the ways my parents handled it. I won't get into all of that right now. It's a story for another time. But I just mentioned that because my journal was my lifeline starting from a really young age. It was a place for me to not only share my thoughts, to have a place to express my thoughts, but it was a place for me to work things out for myself, to find emotional comfort, to get more clear on things, to bring awareness, all of it. And it's not for everybody. Some people don't like it. Although we're going to look today at different ways, even for people that don't like to write and use words, we're going to look at different ways to use journaling. But I'll just share that, you know, that was when I first started with a journal. And to this day, it is one of my go-to tools for everything, for brainstorming, for clarifying, for awareness, for connecting with spirit, for my soul work, for my shadow work, all of it. Even yesterday, Yael, my 9-year-old, and I went and we bought journals for 2024, and had a little party to journal and start the year off. So I know so many of you already have journaling practices, and, it's one of my favorite topics. And it also just feels like a gift to have this space to share about it, to exchange ideas, and to see how we can really use it to support our clients to go deeper. In one-on-one, so what's the purpose of journaling in our one-on-one work with clients? So for me, I use it mainly as homework versus during session time. Really, the only time that I use journaling during one-on-one session time is if a client needs a pattern interrupt or if they're having trouble clearing their head. So what I mean by a pattern interrupt is if a client needs to move from outward to inward, for example, sometimes if they're having trouble doing that, a good journaling question can help them. Or if they need a pattern interrupt from being a little bit too much in the heart to move to the head, or a little bit too much in the head to move to the heart. Of course, to move from head to heart, we've also looked at other tools like visualization, connecting with heart, you know, asking the heart what it needs, et cetera. But sometimes the journaling is just different than conversation. It can help create that pattern interrupt. Sometimes things will get a little too emotional, right? And you're going to want to bring some grounding. There are lots of different ways to bring grounding, but moving to the cognitive always helps. And writing things down is just grounding in general. And it can help with that, right? Make a list of X, Y, or Z, et cetera, right? So every now and again, it might come up during a session, but where I want to focus today mainly is how to use journaling as for homework outside of session, as a way to go deeper on certain topics that were covered in session, as a way to reinforce and practice new learnings and awarenesses that came through in sessions. You can use journaling homework to address pieces that you didn't have time for in the session, but that are timely, right? That it might be valuable for a client to look at before your next session. Another way to use or purpose to use journaling for homework is for pieces that came through in a session, but they weren't fully baked yet, right? Sometimes things, they need more processing. It's a revelatory process, right? And so the journaling can support clients for more pieces to be revealed, for it to become more baked. And then sometimes also, every now and again, there's going to be a topic that comes up in session that is so personal to a client that they might want to explore it in private first before they're ready to share it with you, right? And that has nothing to do about there not being enough trust in the container or anything like that, right? We all have certain things that it's like, that's private. I want some help knowing how to process it or understand it more, but I don't know that I want to have a conversation about it right now, right? So we can use journaling in that way as well. There are very few rules when it comes to journaling. As journaling homework, it's a place where you can get really creative and not just by giving clients questions to journal on, right? It can be dialoguing with parts of themselves. It can be drawing. It can be list making. It can be mind mapping. It can be diagram making, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So it's a place to get really creative, not just the traditional, you know, question, answer. So there are very few rules, but I have a couple for you to consider. when you are working with clients and co-creating journaling homework. Number one, don't have it take up too much time. We just know this. Any homework assignment that's going to be too big is going to be too overwhelming, and it's going to set our clients up for failure. They're either not going to do it or they're going to give up halfway, right? But also it shouldn't take up too little time. Something that's just going to take 2 minutes is not going to be really meaningful. For each client, and depending on what's happening in their lives as well, how much time it takes is going to be different in terms of what's appropriate for them. Second rule to consider, for the journaling homework, invite your client to carve out some sacred time and space to do it. Some quiet time, uninterrupted time, for them to really be focused and present to the work, right? So it's not just a homework assignment that we want to check off to say that we did, but so that it's actually they're present and they're in process with it the same way that they are present in a session with us. Even just that alone, supporting clients to create sacred time and space for themselves. We'll look at this more when we talk about ritual also. Just that is so valuable for so many of our clients, really for all of us, right? To have sacred time and space, to be present, to focus, to be with our souls, to be in a revelatory process or a discovery process. Another rule to consider, I always think that the journaling assignment is not yet over when the last word is written or the last piece is drawn. For deeper awareness and integration, I always like to ask people to read over their journaling afterwards. And if they want to star, circle, underline important parts or make a list of takeaways from it, just like we would do at the end of a coaching session, right? There's kind of like a beginning, middle, and end, right? The intention is these are the things we're going to do for the journaling. There's the doing of it, and then there's the integration and the takeaways. I always invite my clients to keep me in the loop on the homework. So I invite them if they want to share it with me over email or discuss it in our next session. But I like to follow up, right? Like continue the thread, follow it up. Again, either over email or in the next session. If your clients don't like to journal, then don't give them writing homework. They're not going to do it. Think about other things, right? A walk in the park, a conversation with I have one client who's like not a writer, but is a nature person. So the journaling questions I might give someone else. For him, he's going to take a walk in the park and dialogues with a tree, right? On those same questions, right? So again, get creative. Just like in our coaching sessions, always coach the what based on the who. Journaling is the same thing, right? Okay, so let me pause here because I just spoke a lot. I'd love to hear what's sparking for you so far. What's resonating? What are you seeing? What are you excited about? What questions do you have so far? Who'd like to share? Volta.
I'm curious about the sharing by email. Maybe can you say more about that? And yeah, like just a little bit more, like how they might share that, how much, and then it's, yeah.
Yeah. So for each person, it's different. Some people send me summaries, this, and this came through. Some people take pictures of their journals, which I then can only read half of because people's handwritings aren't great. I usually recommend journaling, actually not on the computer, but writing. But some people do like to type in, then they'll send me that. So each person is different in term, and some people are like, no, let's just talk about it because they don't want to deal with the email. So it kind of runs the gamut. And then if they do send me something, however, in whatever form they send it to me, I'll read it and then I'll coach back over email. So what that means is creating awareness by reflecting and then sometimes asking follow-up questions the same way as I would in a session. That helpful? Yeah. Okay, great. Okay. Yeah, Victoria.
Something that was coming up for me is like working with the resistance of like, I mean, we just went over time not too long ago, and this is like such to me so closely related to working with time and people making the time and then wanting to make the time but not making the time and like that whole dance and the, I don't know, just to how to address that, how to work with that. That's what's
Yeah.
coming.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And so again, it's always coaching the what based on the who. And first even asking, do you want to have some homework on this week or between now and our next session, right? Like, is there space for it? Is this something that you want to focus on or prioritize? So that's number one. And sometimes a client's gonna say no, and it's like a legit no. And then that's okay, right? You do the work in the next session. But yeah, all the pieces we looked at with time. And then it's again, it's what is going to be appropriate for this client for this week. And sometimes I'll have clients that say, give me five things and I might not get to all of them, but I might be thinking about them through the next couple of weeks and I might get to one, right? And sometimes I have clients that say, I can only focus on one thing. Like, what is the thing, right? And I'll do that. So I don't know if that's helpful to think about, but again, it's just like coach the what based on the who, get creative with it. And as with everything, right, that we've learned from day one, it's a collaboration with the client. The other thing I'll say is, as we start to get into some of the next pieces, is sometimes it's like a full collaboration, and then other times a client will just be like, give me some questions, And sometimes I'll be able to do it on the spot in a session. Other times I'll say, I'll email you later today or tomorrow. I want to think on this a little bit, right? That's all is good, right? There's a whole range of how we can do it. Okay. So you all know my being a Virgo, I always like to divide things into categories. So I've got two categories of types of journaling homework. We're going to spend most of the time on category B, but I want to just talk a little bit about category A, which I call more general journaling practices. So B is like, this is exactly what happened in a session, and it's these questions that I'm giving you this week, or this journaling this week, is specifically related to the session this week. But the first category that I'm looking at, I want us to look at is more general, or we could say like ongoing journaling practices. So ongoing journaling practices are not for every client. Ongoing journaling practices are for clients who have the space and the willingness for a journaling practice, right? To do that longer term, consistent inner work related to journaling on their own. Some of you, I am guessing, have your own journaling practices. The purpose of journaling practices are to have a practice to connect with yourself, or to connect with spirit, or to have an ongoing practice of connecting with your heart, right? This category that I'm talking about right now is the types of things that we would ask clients to do in a longer term, in a journaling practice, are things that work best over time, right? So like a gratitude practice, for example. One time writing down, what are you grateful for today? Helpful, right? But not really building the muscle. Whereas over time, a practice of journaling gratitudes, that's where the real value is going to come from. Does that make sense? So a practice can be anything, right? Anything that a client wants to build a muscle on long term. And I'll give a couple of ideas, and then I want to hear some of your practices as well, right? So we spoke about gratitudes. I have a practice which is not, when it's an everyday practice, I definitely feel the benefits of it more. And then it's not always an everyday practice. But where the end of the day, I write, because I like categories, a couple of categories. I write down what I'm grateful for from the day. I write down what I'm celebrating from the day. To me, celebrating is a little bit different than gratitude. I'm celebrating myself. Gratitude is grateful for air conditioning, great, like grateful for organic food, whatever it is. And then the third is lessons learned today. Probably many of you have heard from Margaret Julia Cameron's book. What is it? I just forgot the name of the book. The Artist's Way, morning pages as an ongoing thing. Sometimes I start my day with I am, and then I just write I am, right? Doing that daily, such a beautiful way to connect with self. I think we spoke about this in our last session, an ongoing practice of connecting with spirit, right? So I will channel letters from the Great Mother to myself during periods of time where I need more nurturing, where I need more self-love, where I need more self-compassion. I have a semi-regular practice of doing dream work in my journal. What else? What are some other ongoing journaling practices that either you have or have had or know of or have you done with clients? What else might be helpful? Let's do some brainstorming on this, on ongoing. You can put in the chat, you can raise your hand. What have you got? Maybe you have some kind of list making practice. Maria.
Speaking is so much easier. I love journaling, but in the chat, not so much.
I hear you.
I spell it all wrong. And no, but I like to journal. I'm a real creative person, like we all are, and just get all these great ideas for all the herbal remedies I'm going to make, or all the herbal, mainly herbal remedies, or all the journeys I'm going to take people on, or and then so sometimes it's this creative of like, what am I going to co-create with the universe and who needs it? And so I'm just writing about that. Well, a lot of times that's bulk of it, but then sometimes it's just like, oh, a reflection on, you know, those of us, we're doing deep spiritual work all the time, so we're in this inner alchemy place all the time, so it's kind of tracking my where I am.
Yeah.
In the transformational cycle of like, oh, okay. So those are the things I just spontaneously,
yes,
like have a kind of a regular, I say spontaneous, but I would say those are regular topics in the journal.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love that you bring so many of your, also your interests into it too. Lara.
This is fun for me because I'm an obsessive note taker, journaler. And I use a program called Logseq. It's Logseq, stands for log sequence. And it works really well with a brain like mine. I have a background in computer programming, so it's kind of like computer program markdown, the way it works. And I just keep track of everything, like everything I did that day, everyone I talked to, my health.
And
What
would you say the purpose of it is for you? Like how, what kind of client would we want to invite to do that?
Well, it has so many purposes. And in fact, right now I'm writing a group program to teach this. So a lot of it is just, reflection.
Yeah.
You know, most of it is reflection. And to get my feelings about things and get it down, like a second brain. Some people call it the second brain. Mm-hmm. So it relieves a lot of anxiety. It helps me feel like, you know, like I feel like I'm a little bit autistic. So it helps me feel like I'm keeping track of things. I have a schedule in there. I have my schedule written down. I have important links that I don't want to forget. Like if I give someone a gift, I put it in there so I know what I gave them last year and what I want to give them next year, that type of stuff. So it's literally everything.
I think now I'm like, oh, that last thing with the gifts, I'm like, oh, I need that. I love it. So it's like a dual purpose. There's a tracking piece, which could be really important for some clients. And then similar to what Maria was saying at the end of her share, right, to have a space for reflection as well, an ongoing reflective space for expression and deeper connection with self and relationship with self.
Right. Yeah. It's a way for me to see patterns in my life. So I can say, oh, this is a pattern I like. This is a pattern I don't like. I want to break this pattern. Yeah. A lot of it has to do with habits. And
yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Beautiful. Thank you. If you don't mind, Lara, putting in the chat the app, I have a feeling some people are going to want to write that down. Bree is saying in the chat, goals for the next day or week. I do that a lot too, in the year. Yes. Victoria is saying 5 minute stream of consciousness. Yes, similar to those morning pages. Susan is saying writing memoir parallels journaling for me. I'm so glad you're adding that in, Susan. I've been writing memoir lately and it's been taking the place of some of my journaling for sure. Susan is saying reviewing the week and the month. Yes. Nisha's saying I've done scripting at night where I write as if it's the next day and how I want to feel at the end of that day. Oh, I love all of these. I love it. That's so great. Yes. Helen likes doing a daily oracle or tarot card pull, and then you use it as a springboard to reflect on what's true for me at that time. Yes. Holy Trinity from Mama Gina. Three brags, three gratitudes, and three desires. I love that. Yes. And Susan Hagen is saying, getting heart-centered, then asking unconditional love. What would you have me know today? And that's from Elizabeth Gilbert. Beautiful. I love all of these so much. Okay, so that's ongoing, right? A practice that builds over time, right? And you're building a muscle on a certain, you know, we could call it skill or relationship or way of being through that journaling practice. Let's talk now about the second category, which is more about specific assignments or questions, whatever you want to call it, that you might, assign with a client or co-create with a client on any given session. Now, there's so many, right, of these, as many as coaching sessions and topics. So what I've done is I've created some case study scenarios for us to kind of practice and brainstorm and then apply. So I'll give you the case studies, and then you, my question for you is to brainstorm on what journaling homework you might give that client. Now, obviously, when we're with a client, we'll work it out together with the client. But for now, what might you give? So here's the first scenario. In a session with a client, your client shares that she hasn't done any of the action steps that the two of you had strategized in the session before. She didn't take any action. She's working on her logo design business. And in the session before, the two of you had strategized for her to ways to bring on clients. Now, this is the second session in a row where this has happened, where she didn't take any action. And in this session, when you looked deeper together, you saw that a few things were at play for her. Number one, she didn't quite have the time in her schedule to complete the action steps, but she did have some time at least. Number two, she has some fear and resistance to being so visible and taking the action steps. So in the session, when that came forward, together you did a befriend your fear process around her fear of visibility. And she connected deeply with a time when her first boyfriend ever made fun of her for wanting to become a famous artist. And she was able to see that the perceived rejection from her boyfriend at that time made her feel ashamed of her creativity and also nervous to let others know that she wanted to make a business out of her creativity, this logo design business. The higher level message that came through in the befriend your fear process was trust your creatrix. So that's where you got to at the end of the session. What homework, journaling homework, might you give her? Again, to either go deeper, to integrate more, to keep on going with all of this. I'll give you all a few minutes to think about some journaling homework. And I'll put this little case study in the chat in case you want to reread it. And I'll give you 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. Oh, my message is too long. Okay, I'll split it up into two. Right. And remember, you can get creative, it can be drawing, it can be list making, it can be questions, it can be mind mapping. We'll save ritual for next time, like ritual actions. So this is anything you can do in a journal. Another way of thinking about it is what inner work would be helpful for this client to follow up with on her own. Lara, the question was what journaling questions or what journaling homework would you give this client? All right. I see some of you shared in the chat. I'd love to hear if you wouldn't mind also sharing voice to voice. If not, I'll also read it in the chat. But let's hear some ideas. How can this client go deeper? What assignment might you give them? Don't be shy. Even if you're not sure, we'll kind of brainstorm it out, right? Before I go to the chat, anyone want to share voice to voice? I'll start on the chat. So Gold is saying, write a love letter to yourself from your creatrix. Yes, right? As a way that creatrix started to come through, that message of trust your creatrix. So writing a love letter to it. Alternatively, you could also channel the voice of the creatrix and start to have the creatrix write love letters to you or letters of wisdom to you. Right, kind of honing in on that creatrix piece could be an important piece for this client because of what came through in the session. And we want to strengthen that relationship possibly for the client. The more she trusts that creatrix, the more she's going to trust herself to move forward in her business. Golda is also saying another way of creating that relationship, dialogue between your fear and your creatrix, right? The creatrix is kind of that balance point to the fear. So how can they come together a little bit more? How can they be in a better relationship? and then write a letter to her ex-boyfriend saying anything she wished she would have said then. Exactly. Yes. Right. Because that boyfriend piece was so big. What if she could go back with all of the resources she has now, all of the wherewithal she has now, stand up for herself, speak her deep truth about what she knows about herself as an artist to the boyfriend? Awesome. I will keep on reading from the chat, but I really feel like it's more fun if you share voice to voice instead of only hearing my voice. Does anyone, even if you've shared in the chat, you want to share voice to voice? Come on, please. Bree, thank you.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I said a similar thing in the chat where you could go into that higher self and see what else, what other guidance it has for you and journal on that. But I'm also thinking for anyone that's wants to feel more creative, another way to get into emotion is I used to be in art school and you can literally draw your emotions because sometimes it's hard to put them on paper, like draw. Like I one time I drew myself feeling suffocated and it was like me underneath this frozen lake with like this feeling and drawing it can really just in, you know, pictures worth a thousand words kind of feeling, you know, it's like if someone's having trouble writing it out. And then you could even look at the drawing or share it with the coach and you could work on creating more awareness together and seeing, okay, what does that drawing have to say? Another way of going into befriending your fear and using that as a
thing.
So that was just another idea.
Yes, absolutely. The drawing is also activates preverbal ideas as well. And there's so much exactly what you're saying, Bree. So drawing the emotions, or we know that this client is a drawer. She's creative. She wants to have a logo design business. Could she create a logo about of her creativity? Like if her creatrix had a logo, what would it look like? Right. But using that drawing, especially for this creative client. Great. Kristen.
There we are. Okay. The one I want to highlight that I really liked was to journal about like what ritual can you craft for yourself so you can get into a state of trust and channel in your creatrix energy before you sit down to work or to do any creative stuff. Like how do you set up the container?
Yes. I love it because it's straddling ritual too. But first, like journal on it. Like what would create this just sacred flow, courageous environment for you to take these action steps? I love it. I don't know. And Kristen, I can't help but think because you like this question so much, if there's something in this one for you too.
Probably. Yeah, I think you're right. I'm not much of a journaler, but I like this idea. Yeah.
Awesome. I like it too. Thank you. Lara saying in the chat, has anyone ever given you positive feedback about your art? Who, when, what, how did it make you feel? So to journal on when you have felt really good about your art and your creativity, and what that experience has been like. Yes, make a list of the positive things people say to you this week to start being more aware of receiving. I love that. Yes. Susan is also saying dialogue with her inner creatrix on what she needs to know, ways to protect space in her schedule. Yes. And then embodying the feeling in her body, right? So again, you can, that embodiment piece, you can do it drawing. She can also take a walk around the block as her creatrix, put on a piece of music that her creatrix might like and do a dance and move into the energy of the creatrix, right? And then maybe be in that energy, not just for her creative work, but for her business work. And then maybe her business action steps become creative as well, right? Nisha's saying, yeah, if you were to draw or describe your creatrix, what would it look like? Yes. How do you feel when your creatrix shines through? These are all, by the way, everybody, great breakthrough questions in all of this too. Yes. Describe how you feel in your body, how the rejection feels in your body. What does it look like? What are the sensations? Now give that rejection some space to exist. How would you describe it? Yes, I love this. And I want to just make one point on this question, Nisha, and also what Bree was saying before about doing a drawing, you know, about like feeling strangled or what, you know, whatever it is. Remember that when our clients are on their own, they're not usually as in tight a container as when they're in session with us. Many, many, many clients can absolutely stay regulated enough to draw how rejection feels in their body. But there are going to be some clients that might be too dysregulating on their own to do. They might not have a grounded enough container on their own or like a safe enough container. So we just want to, again, coach the what based on the who, which clients can do kind of that work on their own. And then which clients it's really, that's only going to be in session. I love all of these. Kristen is also saying in the chat, yep, let's do some schedule work. Also, take a look at the schedule. Where can you carve out time, block out those times? Yes. Yeah, Dawn, connect with the spirit of the creatrix. See what else, what other wisdom drops in. Create 1 to 3 tiny steps. Yes, beautiful. All right. Let me see if there's anything. Oh, you guys hit all of my stuff. The only other thing I had, which is a possibility, is for her to write a letter to her teenage self, right? To the one that got so upset and went into fear of visibility when the boyfriend said what they said, and to do some reparenting work on that, or just giving love and nurturing to that teenage self. All right, let's do another case study. Well, before we move on, just any other thoughts or questions on that? Yeah. Maria, I think you're raising your
hand. It's just really quickly what just popped in. I think kind of somebody must have already said it. That's why it came in. It's just like dress as your creatrix, move as your creatrix, speak as your creatrix, eat as your creatrix, dance as your creatrix. Just like, what full does that embodiment feel like in your body, and then express it in every single thing you could possibly do.
Yes, yes, I love it. Full embodiment, absolutely. Good. Do you see how this pulls together so much of what we've learned, right? We're just kind of using all of our transformation skills into the homework as well. Okay, let's look at another case study. Okay, so with this client, the two of you are working together on setting boundaries. This client has got some boundaries they want to set. Your client realizes that she's kind of a doormat in a lot of her relationships. She overgives. She takes over responsibility. She allows others to be critical of her, you know, to her, and take advantage of her. And as you explore this together in session, you uncover that this client has a fear of others being angry at her. And that's why she allows herself to be taken advantage of. That's why she overgives. That's why she takes over responsibility. It's just so that other people won't be so angry, right? She's worried that they're going to be angry at her. And as the two of you continue to look at this together in session, what comes forward is that there's a buried energy. There's an energy that got buried inside of her that she calls the warrior woman. And her warrior woman is lying dormant inside of her. So as you get to the end of the session, she comes up with some action steps that she wants to take that week based on the inspiration and the awareness and the motivation that came through in the session. She is going to set boundaries with one of her close friends about this is a friend that she keeps on lending money to, but she never gets paid back. She's finally going to talk to her friend about that. And then the other boundary she wants to set that week is with her parents. She's going to tell them she's not going to call them every day anymore, setting kind of a boundary for some more space. And she's decided with you that she really wants to set both of these boundaries with confidence and also with a lot of love for herself and the other people. What inner journaling homework might you give this client? She's got her outer action steps, the setting of the boundaries. How are you going to follow up on the inner work that came through? And I'll put this in the chat. Give you another minute. All right, let's hear some ideas and brainstorm on this. Golda.
Okay. So again, another love letter from her warrior woman. Also, I would love for her to write the truth of what she really wants to say to all these people that have been transgressing her and, you know, just, yeah. Like, what does she really want to say?
Yeah.
And just see that.
Yes.
Yeah. And then just the, a conversation or a dialogue between the part of her that has fear of hurting people or being, you know, or angering people, and her warrior woman. So a little conversation.
Yes. Beautiful. Yes. To all three, going deeper with the warrior woman, strengthening that energy inside of her. You know, and a lot of times when something like the creatrix or the warrior woman comes through, I'll ask a client if they're willing to do more than one sitting of channeling that archetypal energy to continue, like to really activate it, to bring it in. And then, yes, she wants to set the boundary with confidence and love. That those words and energy might be different than the part of her that you know, usually when we're scared of making other, there's a shadow thing, right? Usually when we're scared of making others angry, we're suppressing our own anger as well, right? So to just have a healthy container for her to write out every little last word that she actually wants to say to those people. And then she can find the confidence and love part to what she's going to say to those people. Good. Helen.
I also had come to the suggestion of a scripting journaling exercise, but to initiate that process, my suggestion would be to pick a playlist of empowering songs that represent the warrior woman essence, and to encourage the client to stomp and dance and take up space and use her voice and make war cries and really tune into that empowered place before sitting down and writing out the ideal scenario of how she would like to deliver her truth and what her truth is, so that she can shift all those energies and be embodied in that place.
Beautiful. I love it so much. Just this embodiment, again, embodiment, right, of that warrior woman archetype through the music. Probably needs more than one song. I like that you're saying a playlist. You know, and then, and again, follow through, right? The difference between a breakthrough and a transformation. So this is follow through into transformation. Even more, you have a playlist after that initial whatever, work out to that playlist, you know, continue coming back to that embodiment and then be in that energy to be able to articulate the words.
And you could even listen to the playlist right before having the conversation, so you're back in that place and attuned to the truth.
Yes, so great. So beautiful. Yes. Danielle.
Mine was so similar. It was about dance, but also creating a playlist that kind of moves you tenderly from, like, I've done this with people. It's really powerful. Younger child you, accessing that through dance, and then kind of shifting with the music to, with your body saying no, like as that young, like in accessing those memories of being that younger child and actually embodying your body saying what it needed to say at that age. It was very powerful embodiment. And then yes, moving into more of that warrior woman essence. That was really powerful for me. And then also that involved like accessing that inner mother, that caring part too. So it was just a whole blend. Mm-hmm. But then in terms of journaling, one idea too would be in terms of list making. I saw that as an example. It can be helpful to stop and kind of take stock of like, what is the cost here for me in these relationships? I'm always thinking of the cost of making people angry, but I'm absorbing a cost in these relationships by not saying no. And for me, it has been helpful to, that's a way, I don't know, for some people, it might not come up in list form,
To see, right? So without, usually with that, you probably want to say like without judgment or self-criticism, right? That you, but what has the cost been?
Yeah, it's like it gave me a boost. It gives people a boost of like, I have spent time looking at the cost here. It's not just theory. Oh, I know I should be able to say no, but I actually have named myself. No, there's actually a cost on the other side too.
Yes, That's so beautiful. I love it. And then to the first piece on the inner child with the no, it reminds me, years ago, I led a retreat. We were working on boundaries. And one of the pieces of the retreat, I brought in a self-defense teacher who taught the people this incredible way of like pounding down. It's a self-defense move, but we used it to apply it to like find the no and where the boundary was going to be set. I love that. With that idea, again, watch for what's more appropriate in session. Because sometimes it's going to be about a container and regulation. Sometimes it's going to just be, if it's newer material than what you already looked at in the session, a client might not be able to go there on their own unless they're really into all the stuff that all of us are into. So sometimes we want to save things for session. For other clients, that might be totally appropriate. Now, if we've introduced it already in session, if we've practiced some of that in session, then for sure they could do it on their own. Maria.
Well, as a martial artist and a Qigong practitioner, like healthy boundaries is like what we teach. So I would obviously bring her into Qigong, you know, because that's the core of it and our big component of it. But I what keeps coming to me is she wants to feel confident and loving. And so a couple things, there's been so much wisdom already shared, that playlist from the beginning. What keeps wanting to come to me is that it ends calmly and peacefully and stable and centered. Because if you had listened, I just am speaking of myself. If I listen to a bunch of empowering stuff and I'm like feeling my way, I might feel way not centered, but really big and powerful. And that might actually create more conflict than I'm aware of, especially if I'm new to that kind of energy. So I would have that. I love that list idea, that music idea, but then I just keep on wanting to like make the music come back to your center. That's almost, yeah. And just holding love and power in the same chalice. Like, what does it feel in your body when you're feeling love and power in the same chalice, in the same word, in the same action, in the same stance? Just figuring out what that feels like for them and writing and all the dialogue within that. Those are the things that keep coming to me.
I love that. If there's time at the end of the session, you might want to start a client off with that to feel that love and power together and then follow through during the week. If not, give it for homework, maybe start with journaling. What would it even feel like or look like? And then move into the embodiment or vice versa. Yeah, good. Let's see what's in the chat here. Susan is saying, journal a story of the awakening of the warrior woman inside of her. What does she look like? How does she move? What is her voice like? What wisdom does she have? Move through the space from the energy of the warrior woman. Yes. The second assignment, to script the conversation about boundaries from the warrior woman's voice. Beautiful. Yes. Always practicing conversation. A big, you know, for any client, whether it's a job interview or a conversation like this session or, you know, whatever it is, having opportunity either in session with us or on their own to script out what they want to say from the energy that they want to say it can be so helpful. Nisha is sharing, what does it mean to be responsible to yourself as opposed to others? Yes, beautiful breakthrough question. What is the relationship between the boundaries you're creating and self-intimacy? Yeah, these are great, great journaling questions, breakthrough questions. Write a letter to the warrior woman. Tell her about the importance of setting those boundaries. Yes. Or have the warrior woman tell it to you. How do your boundaries align with what is valuable for you? Beautiful. Susan Hagen, yes, more on the connecting with the warrior woman. Yes. Yeah, same with Amy. Yep, and Victoria's sharing about the dialogues. Good. Let me see if there's anything else I had here. So, you know, tracking, this is a little bit, Lara brought this up on the earlier case study, tracking, you know, we can call as a form of journaling. So another idea is follow yourself throughout the week and make a list of all the times you ignored a boundary because of a fear of making others angry, and also all the times that you upheld the boundary, right? And what were the scenario? Who was it with? What was going on? Tracking, we looked at this in Befriend Your Fear with fears. You know, the more that we can become aware, help a client become aware in real time of how they're reacting, slowly they can start to change behavior through that. Another idea I had, make a list of people who she knows who set boundaries in healthy ways. What, you know, and some information about that. She could make a collage of what healthy boundary setting feels like and looks like with words and images. Another question, what are the components of a healthy and supportive friendship? Right. So to maybe go a little bit deeper into defining what healthy and supportive friendships are, define aligned responsibility and giving. So if there's over responsibility and over giving, what does aligned responsibility and giving look like? Any other thoughts, ideas, or questions that came up for you as we've been looking? Oh, and Kristen is having an exploration of the anger too. Yes. What are you starting to kind of see or learn from our call today so far? Or get excited about? What are you noticing? Anyone want to share?
I have something.
Yeah.
I can imagine some clients are too anxious or fearful to do journaling. So, I mean, I can imagine myself during some points I wasn't able to do that. Like with my Alexander work, we do a lie down and I was so anxious I couldn't. It took me 2 years to be able to do the lie down. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could address that.
Yeah. So it's such a great question. So again, it's always going to be different, but for a client, so for some clients, they're just not going to be ready. It's not going to be the right time. Right. And that's great. So then it's a different kind of follow-up homework. It might not be journaling. It might be waiting to the next session. If it's a client who it's just really the work is only going to happen in session. And let's say you're meeting with that client every other week. It might be a conversation about meeting every week instead of every other week. If the going to, you know, just kind of like letting it go and not doing anything on their own between the 2 weeks, if it's not going to, they're not going to be able to kind of build on what's happening, right? So that's one thing. If they just aren't going to do it, you know, for some people, it's just not right. You know, for other people, like I said earlier, it might be, well, I'm not going to journal, but I'm going to talk to a tree, or I'm going to take a walk and I'm going to think about this, or I'm willing to make a list, right? So always coach the what based on the who, and work with that client on what's going to work for them. If a client is saying, I really want to do the journaling, but I just feel so resistant to it, then in session, you're going to take a look at the resistance and see what the fear underneath it is. It might be a fear of going deeper. It might be a fear of, I don't I'm scared to devote the time to this because I have so many other things to do, right? But always value is going to come from looking at the resistance. Is that helpful?
It is. And I just had another thought too, as you were saying that, maybe even coming up with a mantra or something that they could write down on a post-it note on their bathroom mirror or something just to start thinking about.
Yes.
Could be a lot easier.
Yeah. An easy first step. As with everything, sometimes, you know, for some people, it's just like, what is the easiest first step that's going to be a win, right? That is almost a guaranteed win. They're going to do it, right? Because once people get the win, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the word. Anyway, the good vibe hormone comes through. They're like, I did it. I can't remember what it's called. Oxytocin. And then, right. And then they're going to be willing to take a next step. So sometimes it really is just looking for that easy win the first time. I love that.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Who else? Any questions? I have one more case study. But before we go there, just any questions that are coming up in general about this or what's popping for you around using journaling as a coaching tool? Golda.
Yeah, I think I'm still sitting with like the follow-up and just appreciating that that's something that I haven't done and that I want to step more into of, you know, really inviting sharing in between sessions. And also if not then, you know, following up during the next coaching session. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're underscoring this because really so much of what we're looking at today, in addition to creating more breakthroughs and awarenesses and all the things, it goes back to the thing, one of the things I've been saying throughout, which is there's a difference between a breakthrough and a transformation. And so often we do such great work in session and then it just gathers dust. And yes, we want to pick it up in following sessions, but a lot of the times what's going to strengthen the breakthroughs to the transformation even more, in addition to the following up in session, is if a client is willing to even do a little bit of work in between.
All of that. And I also want to add the other piece that it feels it's also about the relationship. It's also about that, you know, like the holding, and I forget the languaging that you've used around it, but it's like at the very beginning of just really
establishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I'm going to pull on what you're saying because it's important for all of us. We did look at this as in our very first session. I really want to encourage all of us to not look at our client work as there's this session and then this session and then this session, but instead to look at it, however long we're working, right? Whether it's a 3-month thing or a 6-month or a year, that it is a container for that amount of time. And the value is not just in the session by session. We are holding space for our clients for that whole container, obviously tightened space, right? During sessions, but just that overarching container is supportive and motivating and inspiring. And then if we can add a little work in between, that tightens the container even more. Good. Any other thoughts? I think I'll give our last case study as a homework for anyone that wants to do it. I think it's more important, just any other thoughts or questions on any of this? Or is this inspiring you to come back to your journal a little bit more too? And any thoughts or questions you have on that? Maria.
it's a question really about just your practice when you're with your one-on-one clients. And you, do you like sense each person out to see if they're a good candidate for these continuous journal questions, and then something pops up? Is it always just in the moment, or do you kind of have it in your repertoire of like, oh, welcome new person into my realm, and they say something and then you're like, oh, here's some questions, because you're anticipating that you're going to give them some journaling homework?
I'm always anticipating that I'm gonna be giving them inner work to do in between sessions and looking for the best ways for them to do that inner work. So I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So you're anticipating you're gonna give them homework or some inner work, and journaling is one of them.
Exactly. For some people, it's ritual. Like I said, for some people, it's walks around the block, dancing, you know, whatever it is. And look, some people don't do anything in between sessions also, right? I mean, real talk, some people don't, or some people do a lot and then they don't, and then they do again, or, you know, just like all of us. But I kind of go in with the hope that the work that I'm doing with the client is not only about our session time, and also that I'm using the whole of our container to help them build a muscle of going deeper in their own relationship with themselves, even when I'm not there. And so I'm always hoping that they will do some kind of inner homework because of that.
And so one other just question just popped up right now is, I do groups and I'm not in a one-on-one very often. So I'm doing groups, and then I always want to check in with them throughout the time. But a lot of times, just what you said, some people are engaged and some are not. How would you make this different for groups? Like the homework, the journaling for a group, a small group of people.
Yeah. So it, right. Size depends, right? So Sacred Depths, we have a fair amount of people, right? So I'm in all of the homework, there's usually journaling, or I'm asking you to follow through on what came through and befriend your fear, this, that, and the other thing. And then because there's more people, I'm really leaving each person to, well, everybody's always taking full responsibility for themselves no matter what, but I am not necessarily checking in, right? If you have a coaching partner, maybe you're checking in with them, or if you're going for certification, you have sessions, et cetera. For smaller, because I can't personally check in every week with everybody, right? For smaller groups, I may sometimes do tighten the container with some of the accountability if people want it with that, right? So there's an assignment, and then maybe everybody fills out either an accountability form like they would for one-on-one, sharing, this is what I did this week, this is the new wisdom, this is what I want to do next, and I will read through those and make comments. Sometimes it can look like at the beginning of a session, creating 10 minutes of space to see what came through the homework for everybody and discussing it, kind of creating inspiration in that way for people that haven't yet been ready to do it. So it, you know, there's lots of different ways that you could do it with groups as well.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. Victoria.
One of the things, if I can articulate this, I kind of have like a head throbbing thing going on. One of the things that popped back up for me was actually what we were talking about in the beginning of our call, which is like working with journaling in a session. And like one of the things that like Sacred Depths really brought back for me into my practice was like the value and the beauty of like clarifying the takeaways at the end of a session. So there's something here about like tying together, like clarifying the takeaways, and then like how are you going to work with those takeaways in between now and next session, and maybe journaling has something to do with that, but like something about connecting all of that.
Yes, absolutely. The hope is whatever the takeaways are, there's going to be inner work and outer action on it, right? So the outer action we kind of looked at in our strategizing module, and this is kind of the inner work to go along with that. But I love that way of looking at it. Yes. Donna's saying in the chat, you had a breakthrough through this conversation. You always try to journal, but it's been intermittent. You realized your mother read your diary. I had that happen to me too. I get it. And also a partner when you were in your 30s. Do a befriend your fear on it. I love that. Yes. Jen is saying, I'm a lifelong journaler like me. And the piece you're taking away is the commitment to reread and integrate what you've explored in your writing. It's an essential aspect of your own growth and really deepening into integration. Yes, I go back and I read old journals, and not only does it make me giggle sometimes, but it's such a celebration of the evolution as well as an acknowledgement of the things that stay the same, but loving myself that I'm still working on it. It's a reminder of lessons to go back to. I mean, I just think there's so much value in rereading. All right. I have one more case study. I'm going to share it in the Facebook group later today. If you want to, speaking of homework, and you want to work on that case study, and you can post in the Facebook group ideas on it as well. And I want to encourage you to take this into your client sessions and into your own practice as well. All right, I'm sending you all lots of love. If you need anything, you know I'm around. I'll see you soon. Bye.